Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Good afternoon, Reba Tony here. You are tuned in to Knowing the Economy of God with Tom Meglia. Tom is a chartered financial consultant, accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. With over 27 years of financial counseling and coaching experience, Tom is also a Crown Ministries budget coach and is a business and church consultant. In addition, he's an IAR and CLU. We'd love to hear from you here at Knowing the Economy of God. Give us a call, 800-386-3700. Visit us online at www.theeconomyofgod.com. He's our financial planner with a face for radio. Here he is, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to see you and talk. It really is.
It's good to be here this weekend. We've got a lot to get into today.
We do. We're transitioning, Reba, from the book of Job. Mm-hmm. And that's because the book that I've written that's coming out next month is a chronological study of God's economy from Genesis through Revelation. And as you know, we finished Job after 6 weeks.
Wow. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
It was a lot of fun.
It was great. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. So after Job, we're on to Psalms. Mm. Now, before we read the headline verse for today, I want to remind people just what God's economy is and what it's about. And it's basically what God says and thinks and what God's written in the Bible about any financial related topic or money related item that one can think of. And then we're learning how to apply it to our normal and everyday lives. That's what God's economy is. It's God's thinking, not a financial planner, not some stock brokerage person or real estate person or any investor. It's what the Almighty God, the Supreme Being, says and thinks and has written in His Word that has outlasted everybody.
It outlasts any real estate bubble, stock crash, any dot-com boom.
Anything.
Yeah.
The Word is still standing. So, Reba, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we've been reading that every single week since we've been partnering. And you know what? I never get tired of hearing that verse. Do you?
No, I don't. It's the perfect scripture to parlay into knowing the economy of God. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Exactly. God-breathed. We're to learn and be trained and sometimes be rebuked by it and learn it more and learn it again for correction. Sometimes God says, hey, Tom, like your junior high PE coach, you didn't learn the lesson. Take another lap.
Oh, yeah.
I hated taking another lap. When I was in junior high, I said, Coach, why do I have to take another lap? Because you didn't learn it right. And I feel like sometimes God says, Tom, take another lap. You've got to learn this right.
And it's for our good.
It's for your best. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that's the whole thing. It's not to hurt you. It's for your best that we learn the scripture in God's economy and apply it and learn how to use it in normal living. Why? Because it glorifies God. Now, Reba, before we talk about today's headline scripture, what are the four anchors?
The four anchors are God is the creator of everything. We are the stewards. We need to be cheerful givers, and we need to be content.
Exactly. Awesome. Hey.
I'm getting it. It is sinking in.
You know what I'm learning on this program is you don't need me anymore. You've already got it all. Who needs Tom? Reba, just take
Tom,
over.
Tom, you know what? You have been so diligent to study the Word of God in this book that you're putting together. All your years of experience, 27 years of experience, 3 years of labor, putting all this together. You know, I'm just growing and ingesting it.
Well, I think you're way ahead than where I was many years ago. But I think the book took 3 years to write, partly because of my bad grammar and English skills. So we got to lop off a couple from that. But anyway, the book's coming out next month, Reba, around, Memorial Day, June 1st. It'll be here. So I'm really excited.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm excited about it. I really am. And I can't wait to give you a copy of it and see what you think about it and others too. So, Reba, let's go ahead and do the transition. Now, we were in Job the last 5 weeks. So today we're in a new topic, a new headline scripture, Psalms 24, verse 1 and verse 2. This was the very original principle taught to me by Larry Burkett in 1977.
Wow.
From this scripture. So go right ahead.
Here we go. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon it, the seas, and established it upon the waters.
Exactly. And that goes back to anchor one. God mm-hmm. is the creator. God is the owner. So this economic principle for today, this Saturday, covers God's ownership. So let's continue with some sub-scriptures or supportive scriptures from other parts of the Bible, Reba, that add into the fact that God is the only owner, the one and true only owner. No matter what I think, no matter how I behave, no matter what I do, it doesn't change the fact.
But what about if my bank statement has my name at the top of it?
You know what? That's fool's gold, because
you're right.
We may think that we're the real owner. Uh-huh. We may believe it, perceive it, and all that kind of stuff. But we are not. The Bible is the authority. The mm-hmm. Bible says no. So let's read some more scriptures that support Psalms 24, Reba. Please go right ahead okay. and start with Haggai 2:8.
Haggai 2:8. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts.
Okay. How about 1 Chronicles 29:11-12? This will blow people away.
Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you, and you are ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all.
Wow.
That's now, huge.
That's huge. Now, if there's any doubters out there, wait for this one. Luke 14:33. I mean, we're just rolling with some cross scriptures here that just nail it down that God is the only owner. Luke 14:33.
Jesus said, so therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions.
I'd say that's clear. I would say
that is very clear. And that was written in red.
Yeah, I don't need to be a seminary student to figure this one out. Jesus is the authority. If he says something, Reba, I'm listening. Okay, I am. How about Psalms 50, verse 10 through 12, Reba?
For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. The world is mine, and all that is in it.
Oh, are we still wondering if we're the owner? How about 1 Corinthians 10:26?
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
Deuteronomy 10:14.
To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it.
Reba, all of these scriptures, come on. There's no way anyone who believes God, who trusts in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, who believes the Bible's true, mm-hmm. no errors. There's no way anyone, I don't care how many degrees a financial manager, accountant, financial planner have, it doesn't matter. God is the one and true only owner of everything. Our time, money, talents, job, children, ourselves, treasures, stocks, gold, anything that's good and of value, God is the one and true only owner. What do you think of all these scriptures?
Wow, it's just undeniable, like you said. I mean, it's just one after another. I like the one where he says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you because this is mine.
Right.
But what that makes me think about is there are so many different needs that God has, like blessing other people that are poor, or different areas where God would want to use different resources on the earth.
Absolutely.
And those are his to do with what he pleases.
Exactly, Reba. They're his to do what he decides to do.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus said, you can't be my disciple if you don't give up your possessions.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know how much more clear this has to be. And this leads us to the economic principles, which then lead us to application to our normal life and then the prayer of change.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we study every week the main economic principle for the day, which comes from the headline scripture that we're reading about in the Word of God. So this is very orderly, very logical, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone, if they say, well, I didn't know that, well, you've got to now. It's pretty hard to say I'm still the owner after hearing all these scriptures.
It's like middle management.
Yeah.
You may be the manager, but you don't own it.
Exactly, Reba. That's because we're just the steward, the humble servant steward of God's ownership, God's possessions, for his glory, not ours.
Even if you're the CEO of a company, it's still God.
Well, sure, because the Bible says this is how you're supposed to treat employees. Mm-hmm. The Bible is just so awesome. It's a gold mine. It even tells you how to treat your employees, your customers, of your business. Mm-hmm. And so, one of the Saturdays, we'll get to that, Reba, probably in the fall, about how to own your own business and run your own business. We will get to that.
Oh, good.
Because it teaches this is how you are commanded in God's economy to run this business that really doesn't belong to us. Really belongs to the Lord.
Okay, we're going to a break. We'd love to hear from you. Visit us online, theeconomyofgod.com, or give us a call, 800-386-3700. We'll be right back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And we're back. It's Knowing the Economy of God with our chartered financial consultant Tom Meglia. We'd love to hear from you. Call us 800-386-3700. Visit us online, theeconomyofgod.com. The new book comes out in just about a month. Tom, we're back.
We're back. And I want to talk about the next logical step, which what are the economic principles that we learn from this scripture or these scriptures and the supporting scriptures. First of all, Reba, the first economic principle, obviously, is that God is the one and true, only real owner of all. Second, there's no room for two owners. You know, this town isn't big enough. One of us has to leave.
Too many chefs in the kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, God is it. Uh-huh. We can't even try to compete. It's a major mistake if we do. So, and then third, God's ownership, Reba, of all things gives him the right to demand accountability from us. God's ownership of all things gives him the right to demand accountability from us. Because we're the steward of what belongs to him.
I was just about to ask that. So the accountability comes in the stewardship.
Right.
That he's, it's a that mutual trust almost.
Exactly. He's trusting us with all kinds of things. He's trusting me and my wife in management of our children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're stewards over our children.
Yeah.
Okay. And we are going to be accountable for what kind of parents we were to our kids.
And at the same time, you're trusting God in those same responsibilities that he's trusting you.
Absolutely. We don't own our kids. Mm-hmm. We don't think we own them. We don't control them. Well, we manage them, but we
for
don't.
For a short time.
For a short time.
I'm realizing it's a very short time.
It is. And we don't, but we don't own them. Yet God does demand accountability for how we handle our children, along with finances and other things too. The one that is the owner can demand accountability, not the one that's the manager. Because the one that the owner is the one that has the right to demand accountability. And that's what God will do. Now, Reba, sin is not giving up ownership or disagreeing that God is the one true owner. And I bring up the word sin. I know, yikes,
yeah.
Earthquake.
How does that fit in?
Well, sin is disobeying God, both in heart and in action and in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sin to not give up ownership.
Oh.
Or to think that you're the one true owner, not God.
I see.
That name on that bank statement doesn't say the Lord's on it. It's my name.
Uh-huh.
So if I really believe and say, that's mine, I can do whatever I want, it's mine. That's a sin for a Christian.
Yeah. That's it's kind of like that middle manager. His name is on the door, but he doesn't own the building.
He does not own the building. He is strictly a steward, a humble servant. That's what he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's important, Reba. It really is. You know, there were many godly biblical individuals who were wealthy, but they all understood one thing. They really weren't the one true owner, Reba. King David, Job, Solomon, Abraham, they knew they weren't really the owner. They were just the manager of God's wealth, that it really didn't belong to them. I mean, it's not with them in heaven, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Guess why? Because
it's passed down. Sometimes you lose it way before you even make that trip.
Exactly. And the dictionary says, Webster's dictionary defines ownership as to possess or belong to oneself or to have or hold as property. Okay, that's what Webster says. The act of taking control, something owned, occupied, or controlled. And that's where we get in trouble, Reba. We must not think we're in control. Every time we think we're in control, don't we always stub our toe mm-hmm. or fall over our face?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we're really not in control. We may want control, but we're never in control. Job learned that.
That's the fool's gold you were talking
about. Exactly. That's why we need to trust the one who does have control, the real owner, which is Almighty God. These are the things that are messing people up in their finances because they continue to disobey God, and that's why they take another lap.
Mm-hmm.
Taking another lap means you're not getting it.
You're not getting it. And people do that, whether it's you're the CEO of a large company, whether you have a small business out of your home, whether you're working for somebody else, continually taking those extra laps.
Absolutely, Reba, and there is an accounting. We're going to be hitting on accounting later in the summer, and that if that doesn't shock people, don't listen in the program if you don't want to be shocked for that one. Now, Reba, also another economic principle I want to share with you. The secular thinking. What's the secular thinking?
The secular thinking is, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and everything that I get, I worked hard for, and it's all mine.
Exactly, Reba. Beautifully put. I'm in control. I did it. I made it. I own it. I control it. It's in my hands. It must be mine. I can do whatever I want to. It's mine. Not God's, not some religion, nobody else's. It's mine. My ego did it. That's the secular thinking. And that doesn't make sense in God's economy because God allowed us to have things. He's entrusted us for certain reasons, testing, lessons, and that kind of thing. So we need to be careful we don't follow secular thinking
mm-hmm.
and step over that line and have one foot in Christianity, Reba, and one foot in the world.
One foot in Christianity and our back pocket in the world.
Exactly. We must not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on application, let me share a few things with you about application. We're to live a life that is one where we don't find our security in the first place, Reba, by material things. Okay, our net worth statement, big or small, isn't supposed to define who we are and what we are. If it is, then we have said, basically, I'm either good or bad by how much I have or don't have.
Jump out the window if something bad goes wrong.
Exactly. The balance sheet. See, that's the problem when people mm-hmm. say, I feel strong, I feel secure, I've got a lot of money behind me. Well, that's false security. The Bible says it can go quickly. Money is fleeting, the proverb says. And we also must not compare to ourselves, Reba, to our friends and our family with what they have and what we have. You know why we do that? Because we're trying to say we're better than them or not as good as them.
I heard that there was a study that said that people judged their if they were doing well in life by how much more money they made than their friends.
Oh, absolutely. And see, that's a dangerous thing, because then we're competing with an idol, the idol of who's better, them or us. That's crazy. That type of thing is truly a sin.
And you don't know all the details of somebody else's life. They may have less than you, but they may give more than you.
Oh, exactly. Some people have a lot. They look like they have a lot, and people get mad at them and say, oh, you've got so much. Why didn't you give it away? But we may not even know they gave a great deal away in the first place.
Or they might be struggling under the weight of everything they have.
Oh, that too. And that's more likely the case.
Yeah.
Now, having money and assets isn't a sin. It's what they represent to us and what they mean to us that is the sin. It's not having something nice. That doesn't mean you're in sin. It's just, you know, what does it mean to you? Is that your false god? That kind of thing. So in application, Reba, let me just throw a few more things out. We need to release ownership. We need to remember our role. That is a steward. We need to surrender control, which is extremely difficult to do. Not that many people want to surrender control.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to allow the Lord to become the Lord of the financial area of our life.
We've given him our heart. Why not give him all of our life as well?
Exactly, Reba. Perfectly put. What we do with our finances, time and talents, says what we really believe about who is the boss, God or us. So you'll know this when you check out your budget, your spending record, your journal of spending. That's how you start finding out just what you're doing with your finances. And that should bring some green flags or red flags to your attention to see if you're living a life that is honoring God and allowing him truly his rightful role, and that is the owner.
I think a lot of people just fall back on old habits. They want to make God the Lord of their finances, but they just keep falling back to those habits that they had with their finances.
Exactly. And the way to get out of those habits is work with a financial counselor like myself. Check your spending. Find out what you do with your finances and why, and then create a godly financial game plan. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm here for,
yeah,
to help people get on track, create a godly financial game plan, and understand if they truly are living as if God is the owner of their finances.
Yeah, are you really working it out as a walk with God, or are you just falling back on some autopilot that you learned from the world years ago?
Or from your parents growing up.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is truly from a person's parents. That we'll cover also later in the summer about our upbringing. How about if I close in prayer? Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord God, teach us to live as you are the one true owner, not us, Lord. Help us to remember our role, trusting you, Lord, who is in control, not us. Give us wisdom and faith, Lord, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
If you just prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. 800-386-3700. Make God the Lord of your life and of your finances. Visit us online at theeconomyofgod.com. Look for Tom's new book, Knowing the Economy of God. We'll see you next weekend.
Bye.
Been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.